We thank you for visiting Christian Bible Temple and pray the following message speaks to your heart.
I trust everyone is doing well this morning. Let us pray for our brother Eddie Peña. I heard this morning that he could not be here because he could not get out of his bed. It must have been that Rosanna must have given him the beating of his life. No, he had problems with his back, and I don't know whether it's sciatica or something else, and he couldn't move. So let us pray that the Lord will help him to feel better. And also this morning, our brother Ivan is going to be with us for this service. For the second service, he has to go to work, unfortunately, today. But we are here this morning, and I pray that you have hunger and thirst for your word this morning. Amen. And the Lord is here, whether we be many or whether be few. Let us open our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. If you give me 1 second, we'll get to that. In a second, the computer has a mind of its own. Okay. Book of Genesis, chapter 9. It is amazing that we're already in October. We're not going to Israel next month. We're going to Israel this month. Amazing, right, how time flies. All right, let's open our Bibles there in Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. We cover the first 7 verses at the beginning of the chapter. Now in verse 8 through 10, we see the covenant that the Lord declared and made with Noah. It is the covenant of God with man, not just with Israel, because Israel is still not in existence at this point, but it's the covenant with a wonderful symbol, which is the rainbow. The rainbow in the Bible is a symbol of peace between God and man. Too bad that immoral people today take the rainbow and use it for themselves with their own purpose. But here we have the word of God. We have the covenant declared. It says here in verse 8, "Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth." Here God establishes what it's called the Noahic covenant, promised in Genesis chapter 6. Which is made with the whole, as I said before, the whole human race, okay? And also with the animal race. It is important to note the universality of the covenant, for it includes all the descendants of the sons of Noah and all those who came out of the ark, both man and beast, okay? This covenant of God's promise not to send such a flood again to destroy the earth puts the emphasis on God's promises rather than on man's obligations. This is an unconditional covenant, unlike the Mosaic covenant. Mosaic covenant says, "Do this and you shall live." This doesn't say it here. as well as the Abrahamic covenant, is a unilateral covenant. It depends on God, not man. Okay, God says, this is what I'm going to do with you. I'm not going to bring again a flood like this one. Remember the word in Hebrew, mabul? It's used exclusively for the flood, the great flood in the time of Noah. That word is not used in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, to refer to any other kind of flood. Only that one, okay? So God promises that that kind of flood will never, never again will be sent by him to destroy the earth. So it's a covenant based on God's promises rather than on man's obligations, whether obedience or disobedience. Now, this covenant does not depend, as I say now, on man's obedience to keep his part of it. It is an unconditional promise. As his assurance for the promise, God established the rainbow as a memorial of it. Now, there are other important covenants in Scripture. The Mosaic covenant that we just mentioned. We have also the covenant that some people call the Palestinian covenant, but that's an unfortunate name. It's the land covenant, okay, that he made with the land of Israel, made with the Jewish people. We also have the Davidic covenant that he made with David. And then we have the new covenant, the New Testament, that he makes with the whole world that would believe in his son. Now, this Noahic covenant is with both man and animals and their descendants. God is concerned for all of his creatures and he cares for them. Right? Amazing how we see here the Lord demonstrates how he cares even for the animals. Okay? Some people abuse animals, mistreat them, thinking that that's not important. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay? Now we see the covenant defined in verse 11. It says, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God promises that never again will there be a universal flood like the one that just was, which confirms the universality of this flood by what the text says. Today there are still local floods. But the earth was never again, since that time up to today, again affected by a flood of the magnitude of this one. Okay? In this verse, God again uses the word covenant 8 times in total. What is a covenant? It's a pact, an agreement. Okay? And this indicates how important it was to God that future generations should continually remember this great covenant which he made with them. Interesting that most people on the planet today, they, it rains and then the rainbow comes out and have no idea what's going on. But believers know that that is God's covenant, that, hey, the rainbow appeared after the storm. The covenant is demonstrated now in verse 12. I'm going to read from verse 12 to verse 17. So follow with me. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy the all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. You know how many times he repeats it? Do you know when you have something in Scripture that is being repeated? The reason is for emphasis. You know, when we have in grammar, in English or Spanish, we have the exclamation mark denoting what? Emphasis. Well, in the Hebrew and the Greek, there are no exclamation marks. So when something is repeated, it tells you emphasis. That's why when the Lord speaks to Nicodemus, he says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." In other words, this is true. In Greek, the Greek text doesn't say "truly, truly." It says, "Amen, amen, I say unto you," which is a Hebrew word. And amen in Hebrew means what? So be it. Okay? Oh, when the seraphim in the chapter 6 of Isaiah say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." Why three times? Well, two times is comparative, three times is superlative. Okay? God is so holy that it requires three times to be said. Okay? So that's the reason why God repeats things many times. It's not because God is repeating himself, but he's just putting emphasis so that we know it. The covenant is established not with words only, but with a visible sign to this day, and that sign is the rainbow. So the next time we have rain, I hope it's not soon because we have enough already, okay? And you happen to see the rainbow in the clouds, then remember that this is God's promise. And it is not surprising that he says this or does this, for the covenant is perpetual. What does it mean, perpetual? Lasts forever. Until God puts an end to the earth, okay? As long as the earth remains, he says, this will happen. Seemingly, the rainbow came into existence here for the first time. It had never rained before. So now for the first time, we see the word rainbow in the Bible because this is the first time probably the rainbow appears. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God brought judgment on the earth, but even with his judgment, there's always mercy. Okay? God does not forget. Man, yes, and he forgets very quickly. We all have short-term memories. And that's why sometimes things happen in our lives time and again and again and again. Why? Because we don't learn the lesson. But God never forgets. Okay? Imagine God forgetting something and I don't forget it. What does that mean? It means that I know something he doesn't know. That is ridiculous. Okay? So God does not forget. But he can rejoice when he sees the rainbow, knowing that it is before God perpetually as a reminder of this promise that God would never again bring the flood, not a flood, but the flood on the earth to completely destroy it. Just as the scars of the earth remind us of the destruction of the flood, so on the other hand, the rainbow would remind man that God would never again destroy earth this way. All kinds of natural as well as man-made disasters would never be able to destroy every living thing until the end of the millennium when God will bring the final judgment by fire. Over the years, I heard so many people, so many times, say, "Oh, what about a nuclear war?" This has been going on since the late 50s, early 60s. I remember as a child, we would listen to the news sometimes, and I'll never forget, you know, the fear that people were under. Over here in the States, you had shelters everywhere, nuclear shelters, because they thought that a war with the Soviet Union was imminent. Well, guess what? The Soviet Union collapsed without one shot being fired. Because for God, the Soviet Union was nothing. The Bible says the nations of the world are like a drop in a bucket for God. They're nothing, okay? And I remember I must have been about 7 years old when the Hungarian uprising happened in 1956. Do you remember that? And I remember they were transmitting in Russian from Radio Moscow, which used to be the most powerful radio station in the world, broadcasting communist propaganda because they crushed the Hungarian uprising in 1956, and the tanks marched into Hungary and the city of Budapest and killed 30,000 people. And the fear that was in everybody, you could sense that, because they thought a world war was coming. And then a few years later, 1961, we had the famous Bay of Pigs crisis in Cuba, when President Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev, the premier of the Soviet Union, butted heads like this, and they came this close to another nuclear war. And the Russians blinked at the last minute and withdrew. The world lives in fear constantly, but I don't believe that this world is going to be destroyed by any act of man, because God already tells us in His Word that judgment is coming, not by the flood again, but by fire. Open with me to the book of 2 Peter. When you want to know something, always go to the Scriptures. Don't listen to the news, don't listen to people say. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read just two verses from 2 Peter chapter 3. The first one is verse 7. It says here, 2 Peter 3, 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word," how was everything created? By the word of God. What brought the flood? The word of God. And how is everything sustained today? By the word of God. So it says here, they are preserved, the heavens and the earth, the earth by the same word, are reserved. What is reserved? The heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What did the flood do? It was judgment and perdition for all ungodly people. The whole civilization of people, if you could call it that, perished, except for Noah and his family. Well, that's happening again in the future. Now look at verse 10, same chapter. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Now, this is not talking about any nuclear holocaust, because it says everything that is in the world will be burned up. Even the bombs will be burned up. So it cannot be a holocaust. And God doesn't need man's inventions to judge the world. I mean, it has happened, but they're partial disasters. This total disaster is not going to be up to man. It's up to God. Okay? The Lord seems to repeat in various ways His promise so as to give comfort and assurance to men who had been through such a horrible catastrophe during a whole year as the flood smote the earth. Okay? Apart from God's promises, man has no hope at all. The same God who brought the flood is the same God who provides man with comfort, assurance, and hope. There would be many disasters in the future, but after every one of those catastrophes, there would be the rainbow as a reminder to man that God was still in control and the world was safe from total destruction. Okay? His promises and his covenant are everlasting. The rainbow demonstrates the grace of God. Even in wrath, God remembers mercy. Glory follows sufferings. Where sin abounded, the grace of God abounded even more. So we see the prophetic declaration of Noah and the future of the nations now. Look at verses 18 and 19. "Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated." The subject of, quote, races, unquote, and nationalities, which anthropologists and politicians try to resolve based on evolutionary theories, which many times contradict each other, can be fully resolved coming to the only reliable record of the true origin of the races and ethnic groups, nations and languages found in Genesis chapters 9, 10, and 11. If people would only read the Bible, they would stop speaking nonsense. Did you ever hear the term global warming? I'm sick of it. Okay? That's a hoax, because the earth has always gone through different cycles. If there was a global warming, why are we still having winters? Oh, but the poles are melting. Maybe. But maybe in a couple of years from now, they're going to start freezing again. God promised the earth is not going to be destroyed by man. Okay? And I know politicians have made millions selling their books on global warming, and it's a hoax. Especially one of them who became a Buddhist. The sons of Noah are mentioned perhaps in order of their birth, for they are mentioned in the same order every time. Shem being the oldest, then Ham, then Japheth. Okay? They are mentioned like that in chapter 5, verse 32, at the end of the chapter. They're mentioned in chapter 6, in chapter 7, and in chapter 9 here, and then in chapter 10, at the beginning of the chapter, they are mentioned in the same order, okay? From them proceed the three fundamental branches of the human race. And all the nations of the earth proceed from these three sons of Noah. Scripture makes it very clear, okay, and quite explicitly, that all men now living are descended from Noah through his three sons. Open with me 1 second there to the book of Genesis. Go to the next chapter, chapter 10, which we're going to cover later on, not today. Go to the last verse of chapter 10 of Genesis, verse 32. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations in their nations. And from these, the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. That's like a summary type thing of all that has been said previously. Okay? And also, open with me 1 second to a verse in the New Testament, which is in the book of Acts, chapter 17. This is the part in chapter 17, verse 26, is the part where the Apostle Paul is in the city of Athens, the capital of the country I was born in. And he's preaching on Mars Hill in the Acropolis. And he's talking to all kinds of philosophers and people, Greeks, all of them, a Gentile, pagan society, pretty much like ours. And he says in verse 26, talking about God, he's preaching the famous sermon to the unknown God. And he says, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. So, let me ask you this. According to what we just read, he says he has made all the nations of the world from one blood. How many races are there? One. Did God die for all people? Let me ask you this. I don't want to get a little, you know. Did God die for the homosexuals? Do we agree with their style of life? No. Does that give us the freedom to mistreat them? No. Because the Lord Jesus Christ always associated with what? Harlots, publicans, and sinners, it says, the lowest of the low. And who got offended? The religious crowd. The hypocrites. Who knows what they do behind doors? We have heard a lot of child abuses from the clergy, the Roman Catholic Church, didn't we? Huh? Man, at best, is a sinner. And if he wasn't for the grace of God, we would have been all like Isaiah. We would have to say, woe is me. None of us is better than another. None of us. And we have all been saved by grace. Not because we're good, not because we're worth it. We're totally unworthy of the least of his mercies. Always remember that. Love people. Love people. Love their souls. Don't agree with what they do, but love them because Jesus died for them. Always remember that. All these prejudices and all things is things of the flesh, not of the spirit. That's why in this church, everybody's welcome. I don't care what ethnic group they belong to. Everybody's welcome here. And I have to thank most of you for years putting up with me. I'm a Greek. What do I have to do with all Hispanics? Right? But did you ever sense any kind of difference between you and me in my treatment of anybody in this church? I'm the first one to acknowledge the mistakes of my own ethnic group. Love is the perfect bond of unity. That's the crazy glue. Amen? You know why there are so many problems in churches? Because there is very little or no love. Heaven help us from selfishness. I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. You know why? You and I don't matter. The one who matters is the Lord. And the Lord says, by your love shall men know that you are my disciples. He loved his own disciples. And were they easy? No. They were difficult. But he loved them. Did he love the nation of Israel? Boy, did he ever. He wept over Jerusalem, didn't he? And did they accept him? No. But he loved them anyway. It's easy to love the lovely. The credit comes when we love the unlovely. After all, that's what God does. Okay? So we see that all the physical characteristics of the different nations and tribes must have been present in the genetic constitutions of these six people who came out of the ark, meaning Noah's three sons and their wives. Okay? It is interesting to note that Ham is singled out, and we are told he was the father of Canaan, who was his youngest son. He was not more prominent than his other sons, but most likely he is mentioned especially because of his being the ancestor of the Canaanites, who were wicked inhabitants of the land. God would later promise to Abraham and to the children of Israel. At the time when Moses was writing the account of Genesis, leading his people there from Egypt. Let us remember that Moses wrote the book of Genesis, as far as we know, and if he had other patriarchs wrote it before Moses, Moses must have compiled that first part of Genesis and written the second part and so on. So at the time he was perhaps even writing or putting things together, He's explaining and clarifying why the Holy Spirit singles out Canaan of all the sons of Ham, because the Canaanites were the ones that occupied the promised land, and God would later, after Genesis that is, before Moses, would promise that land to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. And you know there was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then his name was changed to Israel. And he's the father of the 12 patriarchs who became the founding fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? So, here you have, we arrived at the almost the beginning of the story of Israel, but not yet. We have a couple of more things to cover before we do that. But I'm going to stop here because I don't want to start in the middle. stop in the middle. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to cover the rest of the chapter, and you're going to see some very interesting things there. The Word of God is very special, okay? So we need to always have a hunger and a thirst for it, because the Word of God teaches us things right. The Bible is not an antiquated book. It's a future book, because there's so many things that says there that haven't happened yet. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much.
We thank you for listening to this message and pray that the Word of God spoke to your heart. To listen to previous sermons, please visit us at www.cbttbc.com or anchor.fm/cbt-sermons.